Hey guys, it's Dan. Just before we get into this week's episode, I just wanted to apologise for the audio. Unfortunately, there seems to have been a bit of interference during the call itself. Unfortunately, you don't really find that out until the end, and it's hard to go back and repeat what is quite an impromptu chat without it coming across as scripted. So, keeping it as it is, I hope you can listen to it still and you enjoy the show. It's with Alice Rose and Vic Feabry, and I think you really will get a lot from the show.
Hey, how's it going? I'm Dan Williams, and you're listening to my new podcast. This has been created in the midst of the coronavirus pandemic, with so many people self-isolating and unable to get outdoors, and with an ever-increasing amount of people out of work, an inspiring entrepreneurial explosion is taking place. However, many don't know where to begin, or they find the whole process overwhelming. With some of my amazing connections and friends, I want to share some stories and insights to help inspire and ignite that fire within you. So without further ado, I'd like to introduce two of my guests today, Victoria Feabry and Alice Rose. Hi guys. Thanks for coming on.
I want to know if we're a friend, Dan.
Sorry?
I want to know if we're connections or friends.
Connection. Yeah. Definitely. If you made more of an effort to come onto the show, then it would definitely be in the friends bracket. But there you go.
I thought that this was a pre-call.
Okay. This is definitely the call. So I don't know if who wants to go first and just start. Just give a bit of a background about like where you've come from and how you got to where you're at. That'd be cool.
Do you want me to go first, Vic, or do you want to go first?
Well, then you go first.
Okay. So I did my A levels at school. I didn't really know what I wanted to do. I've never really known what I want to do. So I went to uni to study like partnership. What did I study? Quite a few months.
Clearly had a good time at uni.
Well, I dropped out, so it doesn't matter. I just had a great time. I decided I wanted to work my way up somewhere. It just wasn't really for me. It was really theoretical, and I've always like done really well at just getting stuck in. So I had a job as a HR assistant in an abattoir for a little while. So but that taught me a lot. It taught me up to be, you know, just working with a lot of men covered in blood. You know, I'm now vegan, so I don't know if that's got anything to do with it. But so I did that for a year, then started at Boots in the beauty team. So I think that's when I kind of started in beauty, and I was like, oh my God, I don't really ever want to do anything else. So I did a couple of years there at Boots. Then I had a little dalliance out into like a sales role. I've done a couple of sales roles. It's not really for me. I like talking to people, but I like more of the like meeting people side. So I think, and then I text Vic just randomly out of the blue. I was like, mate, like, how are you? I've not seen you for ages. Like, oh, you know, I was, you know, we're just hiring someone else. I was like, oh my God, take me back. So then I went back into the beauty team, did that for, it was about 18 months on it, Vic, that I came back. And then we spent the last year at Boots kind of looking at how to do things faster and how, you know, obviously like indie beauty is winning in the market at the minute because they can react, because they can do stuff fast. But within doing all of that work, we kind of saw a gap in the market. And then we'll get into that later. Thank you, give your history.
It's just really quick though, like people will be wondering why there's two people on, being a bit random, but you guys clearly went into business together, hence why you both on. It was like worth doing because your surnames are quite important at that point. Anyway, you can talk about that at the end.
But yeah, we are a bit random. Yeah, so Al and I run two businesses. We run Feabry and Rhodes Consulting, very creatively named because I'm Victoria Feabry and she's Alice Rhodes, and quite frank, we just didn't get much further than that thought. And then we started in BT. Oh my God, I've got no words. I've been locked in the house for so long. That's what we do. Our own cosmetic brand last year launched in June. So I've been in the beauty industry for over 20 years doing a number of different things. Also didn't go to university because just figured I'd get pissed for 3 years. And whilst that would be fun, probably wouldn't be the most productive thing I've ever done. So I went and became a fully qualified secretary because I thought I'd have a backup plan, girl. If it all goes to shit, everybody needs letters typing. So I could do shorthand and all that wank.
tells me every week that she can do all of these things. She's like, I did a secretarial course. I'm like, yeah, no.
My best qualification. Anyway,
but that got me shorthand.
Huh?
Shorthand come in handy.
Do you know, it does, particularly when you're sat in a meeting with someone and you don't want them to know what you're writing.
Oh, fair enough.
And me. We're right in there, she's like, my friend.
But yeah, that did get me into P&G and my first job, and there started the love affair with the beauty industry. Because I think it was, people see the beauty industry and they think, oh, isn't it nice, she plays in makeup. Like, no, you know, started in central purchases and just realised the amount that goes into it. Then had a bit of time in marketing and then went to work at LF Beauty, one of the UK's big contract manufacturers for a few years. And that gave me like a different side of the coin, because obviously P&G, massive blue chip organisation. And then you've got the manufacturing side where it was buying raw materials, buying packaging, you know, running the accounts and the product development for certain projects. And you get to really see it coming together, like how, you know, we were talking earlier about alcohol prices and stuff, you know, things like that. It helps you understand how IBCs work, how your deliveries work, and getting everything through the factory. And then from there, went to Next for a little bit. I'm not gonna lie, it wasn't the best experience ever. And from then, jumped over to Boots. 9 years at Boots, doing all sorts of stuff, but mainly developing and sourcing their own brand ranges, from Number 7 to Soap and Glory. And that's where I met the lovely Rosales Rhodes.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, like I said, we just got tired of corporate bullshit, basically, and realised that actually indie brands are amazing, but they don't always... They have incredible ideas, but they don't always know how to get it optimized and make a supply chain that is robust, and get the best value for money. And where do you get it made? And how do you make sure that it's the right place? And, you know, not some dodgy manufacturer in Leeds or something.
Yeah, I know, a very dodgy manufacturer.
So we literally just, we jump ship and we set off to just take our knowledge of how to develop and source beauty products to people that wanted to listen. You know, we don't pretend to be an agent or a supplier or any of that. We just like talking and having a beer, can you tell?
Yeah. And that's Rhodes and Fevery, right?
Fevery and Rhodes.
No, I know it's Fevery and Rhodes. Was there an
She's older. Huh? She's older.
I know it is. Okay.
Terrible.
And that was like... born because you wanted to help other indie brands and stuff like that. Do you reckon all the different jobs that you had leading up to that was like pivotal in doing that?
When you look back now, yeah.
Yeah, I think like these little jobs that you have that you think, but you know, that's brought nothing to me. And then you're like, oh no, wait, it taught me this, that, you know, you can then translate to someone else. Like, even like my sales jobs that I thought, oh my God, like I would never use this. Like, it kind of, there's like little things that you learn that really help that you, I can't think of an example right now, but like, I do believe that you literally take a little bit of something from every role, no matter how much you hate it or love it or whatever. Like, I genuinely believe that every single role that you have leads you to where you are today. And then you can definitely learn from all of that.
Yeah. And was there like, out of all the jobs you previously had, was it literally the last job where you just thought, no, this is it, like, I really need to do my own thing now? Or was it just a build up of all the other jobs leading up to that? It was like,
I think I've wanted to do it for about 15 years. It's always been my dream to run my own business. But I just never managed to, it was just never right. It was never the right time or the right idea or confidence. I think that's why doing it in a partnership with Al, like, hats off to people that do this by themselves and they do it, because like, between us, if I'm having a I don't know what we're gonna, and it happens, then Al sort of bowls in with a look, carry on, we're gonna, and likewise, like, we pick each other up, we're sounding boards for each other. And
yeah, but you're really different then. When I was chatting to Mark on the last one, he clearly had a failure in his first venture, but that was a lot more solo, whereas this one that he's doing with Colette, he definitely feels that that's a big positive, because you've got like the opposites or you've got different strengths and stuff like that. So,
but I think also just having somebody to talk things out with, you know, as soon as you say something out loud in any part of life, you either realize it's a brilliant idea or it sounds absolutely fucking ludicrous. And just like, I will have a WhatsApp hour with it. Oh, what about this? We could do this. And then the minute I've sent it, I'll then think about it and be like, oh, actually, no.
I'll be in the shower or something, and then I'll have like 30 notifications, and I'm like, what? And it's just Vic having a conversation with herself, and then she's answered it and gone and done something else, and I'm like, all right, mate, yeah, cool. I'm glad I helped.
Awesome.
A lot. But it is that having someone to bounce things off. So I think I've always wanted to do it, but I probably would still be at Boots if I hadn't met Al at the right time, where Al was going to leave anyway. We were both fed up. But I mean, I've been fed up a number of times in my career. But to have at that moment where it was like, do you know what? There's an opportunity here. To have someone say, go on then, let's do it.
That's the thing you said about it's never been the right time. Literally, when I've been chatting to people so many times, they've been going, I'm not enjoying my job. I'm not enjoying this. I'm not enjoying that. I was like, just crack on and do something then. And that's why when I said I was going to do this to help out those people, it was like, I'm going to crack on and do it and get it cracking. So thanks guys for that. But so there's never a right time.
You can always find an excuse. You can always be like, oh, you know, you've not really got the money right now, or, you know, I probably could learn a little bit. You could always learn more from your job, always. But, like, I don't know, I'm a strong believer in trust your gut. Like,
yeah, definitely.
This might sound really bad, but I don't massively think about decisions like this. And Vic was like, do you want to start a business? I was like, yeah. And that was it. That was my thought process. I was just like, yeah, I believe that we can do something amazing. And we have. In my eyes,
so much to say about gut instinct. I'll definitely go with that.
Yeah.
Especially, it must have felt even more right when one person's saying, "Shall we do it?" and straight away the other person's going, 100%, let's just crack on.
Yeah. And I think that's where, when we say we were tired of the corporate bullshit, that you can justify decisions and reasons that corporations, institutions, any big organization makes a decision based on what's on paper. Because you can make things look on paper however you want them to look, that you know in your gut, when you know your business and you know your industry. And, you know, we've started two businesses at the very crux of what we know. So I think if you don't know what you're in, you know, it's an industry that's not familiar to you, question how much gut you take. But we know this industry inside out. So I think what used to frustrate us at Boots was that you would know what the right decision was. Because it's
people the YouTube video will go out, people who are listening won't be able to see how much passion you're talking with at the minute. You like got a clenched fist and you go and you know, but that's when you know you're doing the right thing. Like, it's got to resonate with you, isn't it? And you've got to be passionate about what you're doing. And clearly, you both got that. And that was to help people initially with Thievery and Rose.
Yeah,
and then you just thought, that's not enough running one company.
Yeah.
I'll crack on. How about we do this now? Who's on your phone?
Oh, that was, again, I don't
know. A WhatsApp shower moment again.
Everything starts on WhatsApp.
Oh, okay.
Like, that's just
how it works. WhatsApp. We were in a traffic jam.
Yeah.
Just in the booth. Yeah.
I think with the brand, like.
What's the brand called?
Depixin.
Oh, yeah.
So I think the way that we work really well is like, with obviously, like, if we're passionate about something, we'll do it to the best of our ability. But I think with that, like, it was something new. We work really, really well on new ideas. And I think the whole, so Depixin is a constant new idea because it can constantly evolve. And I think that's what made it feel so right, like it's completely different.
What is it? Because not many people know even what the brand is. Well, clearly they all should know what the brand is.
So it's a new concept in cosmetics where, again, coming from everything. Oh, hello, are you back? Sorry, Al. Were you saying something?
Right, mate. is how it works.
Well, you might have been doing the mannequin challenge and just holding firm, but I think you froze for a while.
I think you froze, mate.
I always freeze. My internet is like horrendous, which really makes this lockdown great.
Anyway, if you freeze next time, I'll do the signal again.
Yeah.
Anyway, but yeah, it was, again, the things that frustrated us. Because what we want to do now is we want to just want to get up for work in the morning. We want to do something that we fucking love. And if it gets to the point where we don't love it anymore, we're going to change it. Because life is too short to not want to bounce out of bed every Monday morning. So Depixim is a cosmetic which does everything. Because one of the things we didn't like about the industry and we felt was quite toxic was the way we've spent a lot of our lives just making people buy shit they don't need. You know, just rehashed versions of similar products that people believe that they need 100 million plastic items in the bathroom. When actually if you make it right and you formulate it right, it's basically a cosmetic emulsion that you put on your face, whether you're using a concealer, a liquid eyeliner, a shadow, a lipstick, a lip liner, whatever. It's the same thing if you do it right, because you all want to.
Yeah. And I think, like, just to overlay what Vic's saying, like, that I think that a lot of the beauty industry is a bit toxic. Like, we tell people that they need to be a certain way to be, like, attractive or beautiful or this or that. And you don't, like, just, if it feels right for you and you feel fucking good, that's all that matters. If you want to paint a blue stripe down your face and go and do your big shop at Tesco, fucking do it. Like, who are we to judge everyone else? Like, I've decided to do my hair in lockdown, and I don't love it, but I'm rocking it because that's what I've got to do.
You're definitely rocking it. Likewise, I've spent a long time preparing for this.
You will tell. But I think, like, there's so much judgment, and, like, we're all so harsh on each other. Like, what's the point? Like, why are we judging people based on how they look or, like, you reinvent yourself. Like, age is attitudinal. We say that all the time. Like, if you want, we hear so many people like being like, "Well, you know, it's not really age appropriate, is it, for me to wear like a purple lip?" Why? Who decided that? Who made a rule book like saying that older people can't have a purple lipstick? Like, it's bullshit.
Yeah.
Just like, we want to like rip the rule book up and be like, "You do you. Do whatever the fuck you want." Because if that makes good, then that is all that matters.
And it's all in the marketing, and that's why it's important to us, because an iPhone is an iPhone, and 11-year-olds want it, and 79-year-olds want it. I don't know, I chose 79, but I did. It's a universally appealing thing. It's not for men, it's not for women, it's not for a particular sexuality and age. It's just a product. So why does the beauty industry make you feel like a black eyeliner from this brand is okay for a teenager, but a black eyeliner from this brand is probably for your gran, when they probably all come out of the same fucking factory?
Yeah, nice. Hence why I'm working with you guys, because you're passionate about exactly that, which is cool. When you were saying about you've got to be passionate about what you're doing to get out of bed in the day.
Yeah. That
definitely resonates, but I definitely think that most of the days I jump out of bed like really fired up, like you guys. But I have my days when I'm sometimes thinking, oh, it's not probably, there's not many of those days, to be fair, actually. But when you do have those days, right, how do you get motivated? Because it's going to be some of those days when you just like, you know what, I can't be asked. But especially when you're running your own business, you can't go and hide in an office amongst a load of other people. You've just got to crack on. Like, how do you motivate yourself to keep going through that day?
For me, I think if you're not motivated, there's a reason. And instead of ignoring it, you need to work out what that reason is. And
yeah, I think there's some days where like we'll text each other and want like, they could be like, oh, I've had a shit night with the kids, or I'll be like, me, I slept like shit last night, so I'll be in a bit late. Like, little things like that, because you run your own business. So like, if you can't give yourself a lie-in and come in a little bit later, then what's the point? And then, like, there's some days where I wake up and I'm like, oh, I just can't be asked today. But then I'm like, I know that when I get into work, like, seeing everyone and, like, seeing Vic and just chatting, like, just having a coffee in the morning and just, like, being like, have a moan and have a this. And then then you start talking and you're like, oh no, I feel fired up again. Mm-hmm. It's the whole, like, I think me and Vic have a really open relationship and we kind of just, like, that makes it sound like we're in a couple. But we're not. But I think we're really honest with each other, and like, if we're pissed off about something or if we don't agree with each other, or like, we just say it. And I think that is so important.
Yeah.
But hopefully, like, we lift each other up and we are that kind of full, like, backbone for each other. And I think that that's what's most important for me. And I think that's what gets me up in the morning. And even if I don't feel like it, knowing that I'm going in to work to, like, see Vic and the girls, like, that.
Yeah, and so when you say you're going into work, you guys don't work remotely out your houses. You've literally got a base where you go to.
Oh, well, yeah. We did, until the world went to shit.
Yeah, everyone's feeling that, aren't they? Was that a, your own space, or was it like a shared space?
So it's our own office in what's it's called, an enterprise building. So it's run by a company who specialise in helping startups. So they've got offices of varying sizes, from literally offices for one or two people to offices for 30 people.
Yeah.
With then sort of there are shared amenities, like a shared kitchen or whatever, but you all have your own individual office space.
What's the name of the group?
MBV Enterprise.
NPV?
MB. Is it Nottingham Business Ventures? If not, it should be.
Oh, cool. So there should
be that.
If not, that's what they should be called. But yeah, they've been great. You know, they're on hand for business advice. You know, having somebody, because we're not always there. You know, often used to be that I would be traveling quite a lot. The girls, you know, we operate very flexibly, because as well as, like I was saying, if you don't feel right when you come into work, that should extend to the whole team. Everyone should be there because they want to be there. And if you want to work from home. It's not the hours you work, it's the job you do. So we don't always have someone in the office. So they've got a receptionist there who can take parcels for us. And it's a brilliant little setup.
But you, so because you guys started Phoebe and Rose and the Pix, and you... You didn't have that initially. Did you start working at home, or did you always try and get up and work together from like day one?
We worked from home from day one.
Yeah.
And then we try and meet up, a couple of times a week?
Yeah, probably like at least twice.
Okay.
But then that's what we realised, that by meeting up, because we live about an hour apart, we'd meet up in a cafe or a hotel. Like, hotel receptions are generally quite good for meetings. Cafes, and they're a bit happy with you sitting around for longer. But by the time you've bought lunch and a few coffees, you know, the weekly spend was adding up to 100-120 quid once you chuck fuel in. And then we pretty much realized, well, actually, if we could get an office for that. So that's what we did. And plus, my dining room was getting just full of samples and brochures. And
you highly recommend getting, if you're definitely going into business with someone else, get some space as soon as you can.
Yeah, and I think even if you can't get that office straight away, definitely like have an area at home that is literally just like workspace, because I really struggle working from home because I'm really easily distracted all the time. I'm like, oh, the kettle's boiling, I'll go make a cup of tea. Oh, the dishwasher's just going empty that. And I'm like, sit down and do your work. So I think having that separate space to go to, and like, obviously, running a business, you don't really have like working hours. You kind of just like on as much as you can be. But I think having that space to go to and do the bulk of your work really helps.
Yeah. I think everyone's feeling that with this COVID-19.
Yeah.
I mean, everyone's getting used to working from home and having that space. Like, having those routines are pretty key, aren't they? Like, getting up and having a shower, like normally you just like roll downstairs or something, but you'd have a shower if you're going to work, so
yeah,
that makes a difference. So what's been, because they're two really different businesses, what's been like the biggest challenges on that you're facing with Phoebe and Rose, and how have you overcome it, or have you? And then with the Pixim at the moment, like, what's, other than Corona, which is but what yeah, well, have there not been any so far? It's like,
I mean, Corona has been the the biggest
nightmare
ever.
I think with the brand, we had a pretty big early days before we launched, so we were challenged on a trademark. That was super fun. We trademarked the name that then 3 weeks before we had to print the brand name on the tubes, it came back and they were like, no, you can't have that. And it was quite a big player. We're not going to say no, but you do this all the time. We're not saying and I think so that was a massive challenge, and we're like, oh my god, we need to come up with a whole new brand name, like what the fuck. So we spent a day in the office, literally every single post-it note known to man. You know that scene in Bruce Almighty when it's all the post-it notes? That's what it was like, just covered. And it was like bits of words that we like and like full words that we like, and it was a full day of like coming up with a new brand name. And I think we had a few at the end of the day, and then we kind of just had to run with it from there. So that's why Depixum, it's just a made up word. We made it up because we knew that it had to be a made up word to not be challenged by a trademark, so it had to be made up. But also it doesn't mean anything, like, and that's kind of perfect for the brand, because the brand should mean whatever you want it to mean. Like, it's not got a specific meaning, it's just whatever it is to you. So I think that was a big challenge.
Yeah. I think the challenges with Fever and Rose, converting clients and trying to forecast what your income's going to be as a consultant. Because, you know, you can, I think early days, we were like, oh my God, there's so many people that we're talking to. Like, how are we going to be able to manage all this work? And then the realization that when you're working as a consultant, every meeting you have is really positive. But then those people go away and think about it. And they might be thinking about it, okay, cool, and then we'll switch on in a few months' time. Whereas, of course, you're very much like, now, because I've just started this and we need working now. So we've got a lot better at that now, that when we start to talk to people, we're not like, oh, we could start work next week.
Yeah.
Realizing
as well, just to add on that, like maybe like advice for other people that are starting like a similar kind of business model, don't underestimate your time. Like, we massively underestimate time at the start. We're like, this will take about a day. You have to take into account like all the admin, all the emails, all the phone calls, like all of the time that it takes you to like switch from one job to another. Like, you have to get into that headspace, and like, just don't underestimate how much time it takes to do all of this. Like, and also value yourself and value your knowledge. Like, I think there was a period where we were like, oh God, we're charging people for what's in our heads. And that's really like, that's a massive like mindset change from working in a corporate business where you just do stuff. You're just like, someone's asked me to do it, so I'll do it. Don't start working until they've agreed, because otherwise you're just chucking yourself out there for free.
It's the most valuable asset as well. It's something you'll never get. So.
Exactly. And I think as well, like, just trust, like, people are paying you because of the however many years experience you've got, and like how you know your shit. So just trust that you know your shit and trust yourself, and that's it. Just believe in what you're charging and what you're doing, and then everyone else will, I think. But that's really hard to kind of get yourself into that mindset when
do you really believe that now every day, or do you ever have like imposter syndrome where you're thinking, oh shit, I still think I'm lagging this a little?
Right now.
I often suffer from it. I like, and a lot of people say, you know what you're talking about, and I think I don't know anyone that doesn't. So
yeah.
I just wanted to make sure that some people were like, oh, I know my shit, but I don't feel that I'm ready for it. Just going back to what we were saying at the beginning again, because it is a real big challenge to try and overcome it.
Again, that's how the partnership works. That's why this works, because when one of us has the imposter syndrome, the other one gives them a slap around the face, virtual slap around the face, not physical abuse.
Oh, literally, we're not Not condoning that. It's not what we're about.
Yeah, whereas I think if I was doing this by myself, I would just get tied up in the imposter
syndrome. Oh, God, Vic could just be, like, rocking in the corner somewhere. Like, I'm like, come on, you've got this.
And then how are we doing this now? How are we doing this?
Yeah, that's me.
No, but then I think that it's really, we've been really, really lucky so far that we kind of, like, do this. So one of us is like, oh yeah, we've got this. And then the other's like, oh, I hate it. I don't know what I'm doing. And then we kind of like meet in the middle and then switch. So it's really good that we've both not had lows at the same time.
I was going to say, so you both had like highs probably, like when you're doing.
Yeah.
But you both not had that low yet together where you're like, ah. Oh.
Except this.
What?
This chat.
No,
you done. You're all
good for that. Okay, cool. And other than the both of you, has there been anyone else like that's been massively like influential that you've worked with, or someone you know that was?
Our team are amazing. Our team are absolutely incredible. I think to have people that whatever is going on, we know they've. And we know that whatever happens, they are, you know, they are so supportive of us. That's been incredible.
How did you build the team? Are they people you knew beforehand, or?
We stole them from places.
Yeah.
So, did they realise they were coming at the time, or it was like actually a hood? slash abducted, or?
And we stole one from Boots. Although to be fair, she was going to leave anyway. And the position fell through, so it wasn't a smash and grab. And then the other joined us from MBV. We were recruiting, and yeah, we just through chatting mentioned that we were looking for someone, and she was interested. So that worked brilliantly because I think for
your
us,
landlords,
huh?
Your landlords, nice.
We did it all above board. We had a chat first. We made sure that everyone was happy, so it wasn't underhand. Because, like I said, we really value our relationship with them. They've been brilliant. And again, you know, she was looking to leave anyway, so everyone was happy in the end. But for us, I think having a team that you can trust is so important, because as part of coming back to what you were saying about wanting to go to work every day, and you know what makes you motivated, to know we're going to a place where the team are like a second family, and that everybody is pulling in the same direction every second of the day. If that wasn't the case, I think we'd feel very differently about it.
Yeah.
But luckily, we knew the hired, and for us, it's about hiring people that have the right beliefs and the right will, because I think you can teach skill, but you can't teach will.
Yeah, 100%. Nice. Where can people want to get in touch with you for Phoebe and for Depixin? Where do they find you?
LinkedIn's a great place to find us.
Okay.
Usually lurking around there.
Lurking around. And what's the Depixin got on Instagram or something like that?
Yeah, follow Depixin on Instagram. That's where I live. I live on Instagram. It? Nick does LinkedIn.
How would you spell it?
Depixym.
That was definitely a test.
Yeah,
and I passed it.
Yeah, and you can get all lots of inspiration and you know different looks. You can see how makeup artists have used the products, and very inspiring. That
I'll have a look at it.
Just coloured up.
It's a lot shorter actually.
I've got plenty of time to grow it.
Yeah, I have, yeah. In isolation. That's what I did. I clean shaven and just grow the full beard.
Isolation done.
Isolation, yeah. Okay. Well, thanks for coming on. Really appreciate it.
Lovely.
Thanks
for having us. Cool. And I'll speak to you soon. Thank you very much.
Right. See you later.
Take care. Bye.
Bye.